Because faith comes through hearing the message of Christ, this sermon has been uploaded for you by Grace Unlimited, a ministry that functions out of Living Hope Church, Pretoria, South Africa. We want Jesus Christ to have first place in everything in our church. And we want to help you know and follow Jesus in all of life, and to help others do the same. Find out more or download many more free sermons at graceunlimited.co.za or livinghopechurch.co.za.
Exactly the message I would love to be able to share today, as in light of what Rudy and Anna is going through, but it's God's Word, and I'm thankful that God has a purpose for us as we turn to His Word, and I'm grateful that He speaks in His Word, and I'm trusting Him to do that today as we continue on in our study of the book of Proverbs. We're just going to be in Proverbs for a couple more weeks. Next week, we're going to talk about the prosperity gospel. Many of you have heard of the prosperity gospel. It's something that is actually being preached in many places that call themselves churches all around us. And we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about that. And then we're going to talk about Proverbs and purity. And then we're going to talk about Proverbs and parenting. So we have a couple more weeks in the book of Proverbs. And then we'll get back to the study of Luke, which I'm excited about. And I'm sure many of you are excited about as well. But today we're in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to talk about money from the book of Proverbs. Money from the book of Proverbs. Now, there are some subjects when you open up your Bibles that honestly the Bible doesn't have a lot to say about. So, for example, tattoos might be an illustration of that, or the kind of clothes that you should wear to church. And even though people might talk about those issues a lot, there aren't a lot of verses in the Bible that they can go to. And you know, with issues that the Bible doesn't talk about a lot, you always have to kind of be careful that you don't say more than the Bible does. That's what a lot of people do. They say more than the Bible does. And that's a problem, because it's easy to get things wrong when you start speaking so strongly about things the Bible doesn't speak very strongly about at all. There are other issues, though, that the Bible actually has a lot to say about. There are issues where maybe there aren't a lot of verses. You have to apply the principles. But there are also other issues where there are a lot of verses. And one of those issues, for sure, is the whole issue of what to do with your money. The Bible has a lot to say about money. I know even this year we've talked about what Jesus has to say about money and how much He had to say about money, but Solomon as well, here in Proverbs, has a lot to say about money. In fact, this is the subject that Solomon talks about most: communication and money. And whenever the Bible talks a lot about a specific subject, that's great, because you have a lot of information to think about. But at the same time, you also have to be careful. You can make mistakes when the Bible doesn't say much about a particular issue. But you can also make mistakes when the Bible says a lot about a particular issue, because it's tempting to only look at part of what the Bible says about that subject, and as a result, not to give the complete picture. Like with money. There are verses in the Bible that you could look at and say, it seems like maybe that verse is saying, if you're godly, you're going to be rich. There really are verses. By themselves, you might, if you pull them out, you might think this verse means I'm supposed to be prosperous. And yet, there are also verses in the Bible that you could look at and say, it seems like if you're godly, you're going to give everything away. And it's not that these verses contradict each other, actually. No, it's just that the Bible has a lot to say. This is a subject that is nuanced. And so we need to try as best as we can not to just look at part of what the Bible says about money, if we're really going to understand what God thinks, we have to look at all the different principles together and understand how they balance each other out, which is hard because there are so many verses. And while we're not going to look at all the verses in the Bible today, don't worry. I thought we could start at least by looking together at the book of Proverbs. And while obviously Proverbs doesn't say absolutely everything you need to hear about money, it really does say a lot. And so I want to help you develop a balanced biblical theology of money by looking at 10 foundational principles we learn about money from the book of Proverbs. This is a subject that's important in your life, and you really need to think the way God thinks about it. And so we're going to look at Proverbs, a lot of Proverbs, so be ready. We're going to look at a lot of Proverbs in order to help you develop a biblical theology of money. And first, the number one principle, not in importance, but number one principle from the book of Proverbs, the first thing we see is that money and prosperity can be a blessing. Now, we're going to see it's not quite as simple as to say money and prosperity is always a blessing. You can't say that. Sometimes God gives prosperity to people he hates. It would be wrong to say, if you have money, you're definitely experiencing God's blessing. That's saying too much. But at the same time, while we don't want to speak as if money were an absolute proof of God's blessing, or speak as if it were even the biggest blessing, it wouldn't be right either to not acknowledge that prosperity really can be a blessing. Because it's viewed that way sometimes in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. So if you have your Bibles open to the book of Proverbs, you can try to come to these verses as quickly as you can, or some of them are up on the screen, but you want to make sure that you know it's not just me saying this, it's God's Word. And Proverbs chapters 3 and 9, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, Solomon exhorts his son to honor God with his money. That's the command. And to encourage his son to keep that command, he then promises, and this is a promise that's actually connected to Deuteronomy, but just see the promise at least. He says, your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. And I don't want to talk really right now so much as to whether or not Solomon is saying that always happens. Every time you honor God, you end up with financial prosperity. I'm not going to talk about that right now. But what I do want you to notice is just that he does view financial prosperity in this verse as a blessing from God. This is not a curse here. Your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats bursting with wine. Oh no, isn't that terrible? No, it's good. It's a blessing. It's one of Solomon's motivations to honor God with your money, and it's later in Proverbs one of Solomon's motivations to pursue wisdom. He says down in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, just a couple verses later, blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. You're blessed if you have wisdom. Why? One reason, verse 16, Proverbs 3:16. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. And while that's not the ultimate reason for pursuing wisdom, riches and honor, long life, while that's not the ultimate reason for pursuing wisdom, they in and of themselves are not bad things. They can't be. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, these are some of the reasons it's so good to find wisdom. And I guess most of us already assume prosperity is a blessing, so I don't need to argue for this very long. But I do want to remind you of that, because it can be tempting to think that it's always more holy to be poor than it is to be wealthy. And that's not necessarily true. God doesn't always give people he loves earthly prosperity, but sometimes he does. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, Solomon puts it very directly. He says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Loving money is wrong. It's dangerous. The Bible makes that clear. But seeing wealth as a good thing, and even making plans to get more money, is not wrong, because in and of itself, prosperity can be a blessing. That's one. Second, though, while it can be a blessing to have money, it's not always as big a blessing as people think. And I want to add that very quickly, because we live in a world that places too great a value on money. It's not just a blessing. For many people, it is the blessing. Money equals life for many people. And as a result, people look to money to do for them what only God can do. For example, they look to money for security. If I have money, then I can be safe. I think that's one reason many people want money. They think having more money will protect them. As Solomon in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15 acknowledges. Proverbs 10, 15, Solomon says, "A rich man's wealth is his strong city." And that's his picture. That's a picture. It's a place where he can hide and find protection when he's under attack. And obviously, to a certain extent, money can do that. You can buy gates and security for your home. We all know that police sometimes treat people differently who have money. There's even a funny proverb, one you wouldn't expect. Look over at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 8. This one you need to look at because it's definitely surprising. Solomon says, "A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers." And Solomon isn't saying you should start giving bribes. He's just saying that sometimes having money and making bribes in this world works for a little bit. It does provide a certain amount of security money. But the thing is, not as much security as people think. I love how Solomon explains it in Proverbs 18:11. He says that a rich man's wealth is his strong city. Which you think to yourself, I heard him say that before. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. And like a high wall, look at this, in his imagination. And actually, you should look at the verse that goes before it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs to it and is safe. The righteous finds security in God, but a rich man, it's his wealth that is his strong city. That's where he finds his protection. But the reality is that ultimately the protection and security that wealth gives is only in his imagination. Because while there's a little bit that money can do, there's a lot that it can't. Like, it cannot stop a rich man from dying. And then once he's dead, all his riches are stripped away from him. In a moment. While it's not wrong, I don't think, to acknowledge that there's some value to prosperity, it is wrong, I'm convinced, to place too great a value on prosperity. If you think money is the answer to problems like fear or loneliness or having a sense of purpose or any of the most significant problems in your life, you are expecting money to do much more than it can do for you. In fact, I was reading one professional basketball player. He makes $26.5 million a year. That's not Rand. That's dollars. He makes $26.5 million a year for shooting the basketball in a hoop and running around in short shorts. It's incredible. $26.5 million a year. You know what he said? Many basketball players came from very poor places, and he actually grew up in a part of L.A. called Compton, which is a very scary part of L.A. I've been there. Very scary. You know what he said? He said he used to think, as long as he could make it to the NBA, all the bad stuff that happened before would be gone. He says, listen to him, he says, you think when you come from a difficult environment, that if you get out of it and you make it to the NBA, all that bad stuff is supposed to be wiped clean. But then this whole new dynamic loaded with stress comes your way. People say, what are you depressed about? You can buy anything you want. I wish everyone in the world was rich so they would realize money isn't everything. Proverbs tells us that. It can be a blessing, but it's not as much a blessing as people think. The reality is, number three, there are some things that are more important than money. And this is so key, because the problem for a lot of people is not that they're saying it would be nice to have a little more money. Or that they're saying, you know what, I need to make some plans to make more money. That's not a problem. The problem is the priority they're putting on money. Getting more money trumps everything. Practically, as they live their lives, getting money is the number one priority in their life. And that's not just wrong. It is wrong. But it's not just wrong. Do you understand that? It's not just wrong to make money the number one priority in your life. It's also stupid. Because there are some things that are much more valuable than money. It's like a bad deal. You know, when you pay too much for something, when you make money your greatest priority, you are paying too much for money because there are things that are worth more. And specifically, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon identifies nine. The first one being wisdom. Knowing how to apply the Bible to your everyday life is more valuable than having money. Proverbs 3:13-15, look at it. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her, which is a comparison between the gain you get from silver and gold and the profit that comes from wisdom. And Solomon says, wisdom is a better investment. Knowing how to apply the Bible to your everyday life is a better investment than money. If you have to make a choice between learning to be wise and making money, choose wisdom. Listen to how he puts it in Proverbs 8:10-11. He says, take my instructions instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you desire cannot compare with her. All that you may desire. If you made a list of everything you desire, and then you compared that list to getting wisdom, Solomon says, whatever you have on your list that you want doesn't compare. Wisdom is more valuable. How much better, he says in Proverbs 16:16. And that's like an exclamation point. How much better to get wisdom than gold? Imagine you could go somewhere week after week and they just handed out gold. And imagine instead of going to this place week after week where they hand out gold, you go to a place week after week where they hand out wisdom. Solomon sees the two different guys coming out of the two different places. The one coming out of the place where they get wisdom, the one coming out of the place where they get gold. And Solomon says, how much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. I meet people all the time who will move somewhere for a better job. But I haven't met too many people who would move somewhere for a better church. And yet that doesn't make sense to Solomon, because wisdom is much more valuable than money. So is the fear of God. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Proverbs 15, 16. Better is a little. And you know what? When would you say it's better to have a little? Because it's not nice to have a little, right? So what could make having a little better? Like, what's one thing you could have that's so valuable you wouldn't trade it even for a great treasure? Solomon says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Obviously, Solomon knows having a little is hard, but if you have a little and the fear of the Lord is so valuable, that makes your situation better than someone who has great treasure. And I wonder if we believe that, because we sometimes feel sorry for people who don't have very much financially, you know? And of course we should. But if you really want to feel sorry for someone who has it bad, you know who you should feel sorry for? You should feel sorry for someone who has a lot of money, but he doesn't have the fear of God. Because the fear of God is much more important than having money. And obviously, Solomon would say, so is love. That's the next verse, Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs, or as the English put it, better is a dinner of herbs, where love is, than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Which seems kind of obvious, like everyone should understand that we should choose love over money. And yet, unfortunately, many people are choosing money over relationships all the time. In life, we all know you have to make decisions, right? You can't have everything. To do this, you can't do that. You always have to choose. And one thing people are often willing to sacrifice in order to get money is relationships. Which is why, so often, when you go to places where people have more money, you'll often find, and this is not always, but you'll often find there's less relationship. Have you ever noticed that? Partly because people are so busy. I was in Seattle recently. Seattle is a very expensive city. I mean, a little flat in Seattle costs upwards of $1 million. It's crazy. And I had to get the taxi in Seattle. And you know, my taxi driver was an engineer at Boeing. Boeing's the people that make airplanes. Let me say that again. My taxi driver was an engineer at Boeing. The people who make airplanes. He makes over $100,000 a year, this man. And yet he's working 2 full-time jobs, 7 days a week, because he wants better stuff. He was from Jamaica. He had moved. And how does he have time with 2 full-time jobs for deep relationships? He doesn't. I guarantee it. My other taxi driver was an accountant, and the other taxi driver that I had was actually an actress. When Africans stay with Americans, what do they often say? And this isn't always true, especially because we're Christians, but sometimes it's true. What do Africans often say when they are around Americans for a while? Where is everybody? You know, these people live by themselves. The more money you get, it's not just Americans, you know this, the more money you get, how often is this true? The more money you get, the higher fence you build to keep people out. And I'm just making an observation. I'm not sure the Bible makes that observation, so take it for what it's worth. But what does the Bible say for sure? The Bible says for sure, if getting more money means you have a worse relationship, that's a bad deal. Because love is more important than money. Also, and I'll just list the rest, humility, Proverbs 16:19. Peace, Proverbs 17:1. A good wife is better than money, Proverbs 19:14. He basically says, your parents might give you an inheritance, but a good wife, that's from God. Being honest is better than money. Let me say that one again because it might be a little convicting. Being honest is better than money. Proverbs 19:22. A poor man is better than a liar. A poor man is better than a liar. A good name, being a person of integrity, that's more important than money. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Your integrity or money, integrity, a good name is better than great riches. Now look, while there are some things that are more important than money, obviously, the writer of Proverbs also understands that being poor can be hard, so don't think he's naive. And that's a fourth thing we learn in Proverbs about money. Number four, obviously, poverty has its disadvantages. And he points a number of them out. One, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, he says, The poverty of the poor is their ruin. And that word ruin, it could actually be translated terror. So the poverty of the poor is their terror. In other words, he's saying being poor is sometimes really frightening. That's one of the hard things about being poor. Remember a number of years ago, my mom had an accident at her house. She fell down the stairs. She was bleeding everywhere. We tried to take her to the hospital, the emergency room. When we got to the emergency room, it was scary. I mean, there was blood everywhere. She was bleeding on the floor of the hospital. It looked bad. It looked like to me she could die. When we got to the hospital, they wouldn't even take her in. I had to stand at the counter, and the secretary was saying, "We can't let you back there until you give us a certain amount of money." And fortunately, my father had some money, but I was thinking, what if he didn't? You know, my dad's getting old. And I was thinking, what if he didn't have that money and I was supposed to take her to the hospital and pay for that and I didn't have the money? I wouldn't have had the money. And for a couple days, I was really scared. Not having money can be really scary. And being scared is a hard way to live, obviously. If you're scared all the time, it takes its toll. And it can make you, or tempt you, to make some really bad decisions. Another thing that's hard about poverty is how hard it can be to get anyone to help you. Proverbs 14, verse 20. Solomon says, "The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends." Which sounds kind of funny, because I was saying earlier that people with lots of money often don't have great relationships. And yet Solomon says here, the rich have many friends. And yet I don't think he's really talking about real friends, actually. Instead, I think he's saying, look, if you have money, there's lots of people who want to help you when you're in trouble. And that's weird, but it's true, actually. It's weird how you would think it would be the opposite, right? If you didn't have money, there'd be more people who want to help you. But usually it works the other way. If you do have money, you have access to a lot more people who would help you because you have something to give them, I guess. But if you don't have money, it's different, you know? When my wife was in university, they did an experiment. This was in L.A. She had to dress up like a homeless lady. And so she got her worst clothes on, or actually, we weren't married then or anything, so she made herself look really bad, which is hard because she's so pretty, but she made herself look really bad. And they had to go to the mall and ask for people for money, dressed up like a homeless person. And you know what? People would not give her the time of day. Maybe you've even done that when a homeless person comes up to you. Before they even say hello, you're like, no thanks. Gotta go. And usually what do they say? I'm not going to ask for money. And then they ask for money, But they've done experiments where they dressed up a real homeless person. You can find this on YouTube. They dressed up a real homeless person. They gave him a suit, a nice haircut, and then they had him ask people for money in the same place where he previously had been asking people for money. And it's crazy how much easier it was for a rich person to get money, for someone they thought was rich to get money, than it was for someone who was poor. When he was dressed up like a poor person, they're like, no. When he was dressed up like a rich person, they're like, oh yeah, here's a couple dollars. Being poor is hard because it's scary and because people often treat you worse. There's a kind of power, you might say, that comes with money. And so not having money in this world can put you in a position of weakness. Listen to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 23. The poor uses entreaties. In other words, entreaties means begs. The poor begs, but the rich answer roughly. And what's he mean? He's saying the rich man can talk to people how he wants because he's in a position of strength. But the poor person doesn't have that luxury because he needs help. And so he's constantly having to plead with people to pay attention to him. And that can be difficult. It can feel humiliating. And worse, poverty does put you in a vulnerable position. I mean, we've seen it since we've been here in South Africa, and I'm sure it's the same everywhere in the world. It's a lot easier to oppress someone who is poor than it is someone who is rich. We're not in American terms, rich, but we come from a richer place, America, and I've often been with people and who are trying to get service, who people assume have less money. They may not have less money, but people assume they have less money. And I'm often shocked at the difference in the level of service, actually. Because it's easier to oppress someone who you think doesn't have as much money. There's some things that there's no way we would put up with that I see other people put up with, as if it were normal. And you know, it's not just that poverty makes you physically vulnerable. According to the writer of Proverbs chapter 30, which is actually not Solomon, it's Agur, but it's inspired. And in Proverbs chapter 30, Agur says, poverty also can put you in a spiritually vulnerable position, actually. He says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 9, he says, Lord, please don't let me become poor. And I'm paraphrasing. But why? Why? Proverbs 39. Lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. And so he's praying, God, please don't let me become so poor. Why? Because he knows there's a kind of poverty that makes your life especially spiritually vulnerable. It's not an excuse for sin. Don't hear me say that. I don't think he's saying he's excused and he can do this because he's poor. He's just saying it's a lot more tempting to steal and get angry at God when you're hungry. There's no question that poverty has disadvantages. Money can be a blessing. Mark it down. Though it's not as big a blessing as a lot of people say it is. There are some things much more important than money. But don't misunderstand, poverty definitely has its disadvantages according to the Bible. But here's the thing, number five, so does wealth. So does wealth. Poverty has its disadvantages, but number five, so does wealth. And I know it might sound funny to say that being rich has its disadvantages. You're like, I'd like to have that disadvantage. It might sound funny to say being rich has its disadvantages, but just because it sounds funny doesn't mean it's not reality. For example, sometimes having money can put a target on your back. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 8. Solomon explains, the ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but a poor man hears no threat. What's he mean? He means, look, it's nice that the rich person has money to pay if someone threatens him. Great. But the poor person doesn't need to pay any money because no one threatens him because they know there's nothing they can get if they did. The more you have, the more people out there want what you have, and the more scary, dangerous things they're willing to do to get it from you. Another problem is that money can make it more difficult to know who your real friends are. Proverbs 19:4. Wealth brings many new friends, but the poor man is deserted by his friend. Unfortunately, people treat you differently based on how much money you have. Many people do, at least. And if you have money, they're your friend. If you don't have money, they're not your friend. And while that seems like a disadvantage for the poor man, it's also a disadvantage to the rich man as well, isn't it? Because if people are only your friends because you have money, are they really your friend? You know? They're not your friend. And it kind of makes it hard to know who to count on. Are they really supporting me or are they using me? Is this person, you know, smiling at me and being kind because he actually enjoys what I'm saying? Or are they smiling at me and being kind because they're thinking, man, maybe if I smile and be kind enough, he's going to get out his wallet at some point. It makes it hard to know if someone's telling you the truth. Does this person agree with me because I'm saying something good? Or do they agree with me because they want to make me happy? What's more, while wealth does change the way people relate to you, they pretend to be your friend when they're not, it also sometimes changes the way you relate to others as well. I think we've all seen, you meet this person who was so poor, and he was polite when he was poor. And he was gentle, he was an easy guy to get along with when he didn't have money. Then suddenly he gets money and he acts like he's in charge of the world, and his whole way of treating people changes. And Proverbs 18:23 notes that. It says, The poor uses entreaties. The poor man has to beg, but the rich answers roughly. In the same situation, you have a poor person who might speak humbly. He kind of has to, while the rich person doesn't feel he needs to. And so he answers in a way that's tough. And obviously the heart's the issue. But I don't know, I just think it's a lot more tempting to become proud and think you're more important than you are when you have a little money. And again, this is something Proverbs spots. Proverbs 28:11. Listen to this, Proverbs 28:11. A rich man is wise in his own eyes, but a poor man who has understanding will find him out. Which is funny. It's a funny thing that Solomon says. A rich person often thinks he's smarter than he is. So this is what's weird about money. If you're smart, like at being a mechanic, you don't think you're smart in every other area of life. Like, you're smart at being a mechanic, you don't all of a sudden walk into philosophy class and you just fixed a BMW and you walk into philosophy class and you're like, oh, let me tell you about Descartes and Plato. If you're smart in most areas of life, you don't start thinking you're smart in every area of life. But with rich people, often, if they're smart about making money, you'll find suddenly they think they're smart in every other area as well. It's hard for them, just because they're smart in one area, not to think that they're the authority in every other area. And that's what Proverbs notes. A rich man is wise in his own eyes. He can easily assume he deserves to be listened to just because he has money, and that's a disadvantage. That's one of the problems of wealth, because a lot of times everybody knows what this guy is saying isn't right. I think this has been one of the problems of, you know, people from the West have brought to Africa. Everybody knows this guy doesn't know what's actually going on. But no one tells him because he has money. And so he offers up a solution that pretty much everybody knows is not going to work. And he spends his money and feels all good about himself, and it doesn't work. A poor man of understanding can see this guy's just wise in his own eye, but they don't tell the rich person that because they're afraid to correct him or they don't think he'll listen. And so often the rich person isn't as effective as he could be because no one's willing to rebuke him. He's wrong, but he thinks he's right and no one tells him. And I'm not trying to make you feel too badly for the person who has more money, but I am wanting to help you think realistically about money. Because sometimes we look at having more money as if it could solve all our problems, when the reality is having money sometimes creates its own new problems. And probably the single greatest problem is the temptation to forget God. Which is why in Proverbs 30, we find the author of Proverbs praying. He says, God, there's two things I ask of you. One, I ask you, and we saw this, please don't make me poor. He doesn't want to be poor, and we can understand that. But maybe it's surprising that he goes on and he says, God, here's the second thing. Please also don't make me rich. Give me, he says, neither poverty nor riches. And he explains his reason why. He says, lest I be fool and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Which is why when it comes to money, you know what the wise person wants? He wants just enough. And that's number six. Wealth can be a blessing, sure. It's not as big a blessing as some people think it is, because there are some things more important than money. Obviously, being poor has its disadvantages, but so does being rich, which is why what you should want is just enough. And listen again to Proverbs 30, verses 7 and 8. Where he asks God, you can even look at it this time, I've given you enough chance. He says, two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Now watch this. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Which sounds like what Jesus said, give me my daily bread. In other words, it's like he's saying, God, I don't want too much and I don't want too little. I just want you to give me enough to eat today. And he's not saying that you're not allowed to have more than just enough to eat. I don't think that's the point. But instead, he's showing us what you should want if you're wise. What gets you out of bed in the morning, what motivates you as a person should not be to make as much money as you can. Obviously. God might put you in a place in life. It's true. He might put you in a place in life where you can make a lot of money. And so you make it. Or you might look to make money because you want to do something with that money which is useful for the kingdom. But in terms of your own personal motivation, what drives you, what moves you to action, a wise person is not driven by a desire for much more than just what he needs. Which is challenging in this world because we're being told all the time that things that we want are needs. And so it gets confusing. And it's tempting to go through life so angry at God, not because he hasn't given you what you need. You have enough food to eat that day. But you're angry at God because he actually hasn't given you everything you want. And as Christians, we have to get this right. I've often thought, when I'm with people who don't have much financially, what should I want for them? Have you ever thought that? Like, what should I want for this person who doesn't have much financially? What should I want for them most? Because we sometimes just assume, you know what I should want for everybody in this world right now is that they're as wealthy as they can be. And yet, look, if that's the main thing I want for people, the problem is not that I'm wanting too much for them. The problem is that I'm wanting too little for them. It's nice, of course, if people experience some level of prosperity. But it's wrong to say that's what they really need most. In fact, I like the way Paul puts it in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this is what Nixon read for us. But it's so powerful. If you just see this, it's like life transforming. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says, look, a lot of false teaching is motivated by greed, a desire for money, which is why it's attractive to a lot of people as well. When instead we should realize as Christians what's really profitable. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 6:6. What's really profitable is not all kinds of money, but being content. Look at Paul. He says, 1 Timothy 6:6. There is great gain in godliness with contentment. Which from Paul you might expect, but it's what he says next that I found personally helpful. Because verse 8, listen to what he says. He says, look at this. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Now look at that. Listen to that. What did Paul say he would be content with? You have to see this. What does Paul think you need, 1 Timothy 6:8? Look down at it. Food and clothing. So if your life-shaping desires get much bigger than food and clothing, if the desires that force you to make decisions are much bigger than that, you're bordering on what? The desire to be rich. Look at the contrast. If we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But that's like a contrast. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. And so listen, what we should want for people and for ourselves ultimately is not all kinds of money as much as it is enough food to eat, enough clothes to wear. Maybe we could expand that to good medicine, access to good medicine, good schools. But most importantly, ultimately, the ability, what we should want for people is the ability to be content with what God gave them. And if they don't have food and clothing, to help them get food and clothing. Which I think was what, if that was what we really thought, would change not just what we want for other people, it would change our lives. It would absolutely change our lives if we realized the goal is not just to get as rich as I can. More importantly, it's just to learn to want the right things. To want just enough. That would change our lives. And the writer of Proverbs works out how in several ways with his seventh principle. If this is what's true about money, coming back to Proverbs, if what we should want is just enough, then you should stop worrying about impressing people with how much money you have. Proverbs 13:7, funny verse. One pretends to be rich yet has nothing. There are people who pretend to have more money than they do. I need to go back to America and see if this is still the way it is, but I've never seen more selfies taken than my time in the last couple years, at least, in South Africa. Selfies everywhere, especially by nice cars and big houses. And there are people who are pretending to be rich. And their whole life, and there are people also who do that with credit cards, by the way. This is so I can just make fun of where I'm from. There are people, you think they're so rich, but they're in so much debt. Do you realize that? That guy, he's driving a nice car, that's nice, but he got that from a credit card. He like owes $60,000, like negative $60,000. So he looks rich to you, but he owes $60,000. It's just pretending to be rich. I remember going to another country where they would, Eastern Europe, where the guys would have the sunglasses and they would always leave the tag dangling that said what kind of sunglass it was. Because they want people to know, you know, how much money they have. And I guess that's partly because from a worldly perspective, people treat you differently on the basis of how much money they think you have. But listen, not God. It all belongs to God anyway. You're just borrowing. And it's all going to be taken away from you when you die and given to someone else. So God doesn't care how much money you have. Proverbs 22 verse 2 says, "The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all." You know, while we sometimes act as if the rich poor person and the poor person are so different, they're not. They're both creatures. God is their creator. He's their judge. So both rich and poor are going to stand before God. And when they stand before God as judge, you know what? He's not going to care a little bit about how rich they were while they were here on earth. You know, it's funny. Some people, a lot of us, me sometimes, it's a little like the Olympics. Imagine you're in the Olympics and you are this gymnast. You know, you've trained your whole life as a gymnast. You've seen the Olympics as little people that do those flips, gymnastic people. And you're out there, you're one of them. You're out there on the floor, and for some reason there's this person in the crowd that you spot, and you think they're really good looking. And so you just start doing all these things to impress them. And he's the guy in the crowd, he's clapping, and he's shouting, you're like, you know, looking out there in the middle, and he thinks you're great. He's the only one in the whole crowd standing. So you do something else, you like run across the floor, and he claps again. You just keep looking to this guy in the crowd, and you're all excited. Until the end, when you realize he's not the judge. All the judges are sitting there, and they're just like, he's just the guy in the stands, and what he says and what he thinks doesn't matter at all. And so you spent your whole routine trying to impress the wrong person, which is what a lot of people are doing with their entire lives, actually. People are impressed by money, and so they work hard to get money or pretend like they have money, when in the end, what all these people out there think about you isn't going to matter even a little. When you're standing before God as judge, it's not going to matter if this little person runs up, "But God, he wore really nice jeans. Do you see them? You know how expensive those jeans are, God? Did you see the car that man drove? He's something." The judge is going to be like, "What?" When you stand before God, all that matters is what he thinks. And so you should want what he thinks is most important to be the thing that motivates you now. And let me give you a hint. Instead of worrying, this is number 8, instead of worrying so much about how to get rich, focus on being faithful with what he's blessed you with now. When you think about what you're going to do, your first priority shouldn't be what's going to make the most money. It should be, how can I be faithful with the opportunities God's blessed me with? And Proverbs helps you. It identifies a number of ways that you can be faithful. Specifically, one, being faithful means don't compromise for money, ever. What you should focus on is not just making as much money as you can. Focus on being faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? One, Proverbs says, it means don't compromise for money, ever. Just because something works and it seems like you'll get more money doesn't mean it's going to work in the end. Proverbs 15:6 says, in the house of the righteous there's much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. The wicked makes an income, but it's connected to trouble. Earlier Solomon said, Proverbs 11:18, the wicked earns deceptive wages. He gets wages, but those wages are lying to him. Because God attaches trouble to it. We're often really short-sighted when it comes to money. So we think whatever makes money, it's got to be a good decision. And yet we don't see that if we compromise to make money at some point in this life or the next, it's going to come back to get us. Proverbs 20, verse 17 says this, bread gained by lying. So food you get because you lied is sweet to a man. So Proverbs is not naive. Food gained by lying is sweet to a man. In the moment, he likes it. It worked. But afterwards, his mouth will be full of gravel. In the moment, it's sweet, but afterwards, it's like he ate rocks. Obviously, Proverbs doesn't deny that you can make money by doing wicked things. You can get ahead for a little while by giving bribes. We all know that. We all know that sometimes people who give bribes get what they want in the moment by lying. You can get ahead for a little while by giving bribes, but not forever. Don't compromise for money. Choose righteousness over prosperity. Two, work hard at whatever you've been called to do. Be faithful. What does it mean? Don't compromise. Two, it also means just work hard. Instead of trying all these get-rich schemes, get-rich-quick schemes, work hard. Proverbs 13:4. Look at this. The soul of the lazy man craves and gets nothing. So here you have a person who doesn't work hard. He wants, but he doesn't get what he wants. While the soul of the diligent, the man who works hard, is richly supplied. Proverbs 21:5-6. Look at this. The plans of the diligent, the man who works hard, will lead surely to abundance. But everyone who is hasty, who is quick, comes only to poverty. Three, instead of worrying so much about getting rich, I'm saying this is what you should do. Focus on being faithful, meaning don't compromise what's right for money. Work hard where God's placed you instead of just following get-rich-quick schemes. And trust God. If God wants you to have a lot of money, He can give you a lot of money. And if He doesn't want you to have a lot of money, He won't. Proverbs 10:22. It's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. When it comes to making money, so much is out of your hands. You realize that, right? Where you're born. What kind of intelligence you have. Whether you inherited money from your parents. Who you know. Ultimately, a lot of that's out of your hands. And you know whose hands it's in? You know who's in control of all that? God. I did not decide to be born in America. It wasn't like a little line up there. I didn't exist before I was born. I didn't, you know, get to put in my vote. And you didn't decide to be born wherever you were born. That just happened because a sovereign, good, wise God decided it would happen that way. And He did so for a good reason. And so we can stop worrying so much about it and just trust that God wants us where He wants us and make plans, of course. Proverbs says, make plans. Go ahead and make plans. Not just plans about how to make much more money, but instead more plans about how to be faithful with the talents and ability God has given you for the good of others. Make those plans. Plan hard. and then work the plan depending on God, knowing it will prosper if He wants it to prosper. Number 9. Almost done. There's just so much, you can see. Make sure you're not poor for the wrong reasons. And we might say, make sure you're not rich for the wrong reasons either, actually. Evaluate. Proverbs would say, look, not everybody is poor because they did something wrong. And, get this, not everybody is rich because they did something right. The way the world system is set up, we don't all have the same opportunities. That's just a fact. And there's oppression as well. And the Bible knows some people are poor for those reasons. They didn't have the opportunity, they were oppressed. And if we're poor for those reasons, we don't have to feel bad about being poor at all. There's no shame in that kind of poverty. But those aren't the only reasons people are poor or rich. And so poverty and riches, sometimes it's a wake-up call. It's like, honestly, examine your life. It's not wrong to be poor, but there are some reasons people become poor that are wrong. And Proverbs identifies a whole bunch. Sometimes people are poor because they're unteachable, Proverbs says. Did you realize that? They won't listen to instructions. Proverbs 13:18. Poverty and disgrace comes to him who ignores instruction. And so if we're poor, we might ask, is it because I'm not open to rebuke? Laziness is another big reason in Proverbs for poverty. Proverbs 20:13. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will have plenty of bread. Drunkenness and having drunk friends and being a lover of pleasure is another reason in Proverbs that people are poor. Proverbs 23:19-21. Hear, my son, and be wise. Direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them in rags. There's some stuff when it comes to being poor that we can't do anything about. But there's some stuff that we can. And God doesn't want you to be poor because you're foolish, because you're lazy, or because you're a drunk. A couple more reasons in Proverbs, following worthless pursuits. The best way to make money is not some quick, crazy, one day, get lucky scheme. It's little by little. That's the best way to make money. Little by little. Not one day. Little by little. Being wise, working hard. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth that you get quickly will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Listening to, following the advice of greedy people is another reason people are poor. You can read Proverbs 1. And sexual morality is another reason for poverty in Proverbs. Proverbs 29:3, he who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. And obviously, those aren't the only reasons people are poor. And so if you're poor financially, you shouldn't worry so much about the fact that you're poor. That's not the problem. You should be more concerned, is it because of sinful life choices? If it isn't, then you trust God and you do what you can. But if it is, that's what you should focus on. You should focus not just, hey, how can I stop being poor, but how can I stop being lazy? How can I stop being sexually immoral and all that? And listen, just so you hear me, the same is true when it comes to being rich. Being rich is a reason for evaluating yourself as well. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you're doing everything right. If you become wealthy by being wise, that's a blessing. But some people become wealthy through sin, and that's not a blessing, that's a curse. And so according to Proverbs, you can ask questions like this. Am I making money by doing something that's sinful? Proverbs 10:2. Am I making money by taking advantage of others? Proverbs 28:8. Am I making money by lying? Proverbs 11:1. Am I making money because I won't give to people who need help? Proverbs 11:25-26. Am I making money by bribing others? Proverbs 15:26. Finally, and I know this is a lot, but it's good. There's a lot in Proverbs. It's so helpful. Finally, what does Proverbs teach us about money? Wealth can be a blessing from God. It's not as big a blessing as some people think it is. There are some things more important than money. Though, of course, poverty does have its disadvantages. But so does wealth. So don't focus so much on wealth. Instead, want God to give you just enough. And focus instead on honoring God, not impressing people. Being faithful by not compromising, by working hard, by trusting God, by making plans and working those plans. If you're poor, make sure you're not poor for the wrong reasons. And if you're rich, make sure you're not rich for the wrong reasons either. And then number 10, honor God by giving as much as you can to others who need it. And you know, one of those groups of people might be your own children, actually. Proverbs assumes that a good man will normally leave an inheritance for his children. Proverbs 13:22 says, actually, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That's actually his grandchildren. But the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. It's not always wrong to save money. It actually can be a way of loving others. For example, if I have the ability to save money, and I don't right now, the likelihood is that I'm going to be a financial burden to my children in the future or to someone else. And of course, if that's the way life works and I couldn't do anything about it, then I'm not worried about that. God's going to take care of me. And He'll use His church to do so. My father-in-law right now is taking care of a 94-year-old man who has nothing because he has no family to take care of him and he doesn't really have much savings to take care of him. And if that's the way it works out, that's the way it works out. But if it works out that way because I was foolish, that's not loving to my children. If I'm irresponsible, someone is going to have to be responsible for me. Your irresponsibility is someone else's responsibility. And the good man wants to have his children do well, and if he can, he works to help them do well by saving. And yet, he doesn't want just his family to do well, of course, but also others. He wants to share, but he shares wisely. Look at this. Proverbs is pretty sweet about this. Proverbs actually says it's sometimes wrong to give. Proverbs 22:26. Look at this. Be not one of those who gives pledges, who puts up security for debts. Don't be this kind of person who puts up security for debts. What's he mean? He means sometimes you'll have friends or people you know who owe others money. And you don't have the money either, actually. But you step in and you say, I'll take care of it. Or you try to give money you don't really have, which is foolish. Proverbs 22:27 says, if you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? But on the other hand, if there's a genuine need and you do have resources, then you should never let selfishness stop you from helping. Proverbs 22:9, whoever has a generous eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. And there are so many Proverbs like that. But I can tell I'm way over my time by now. And that's just because Proverbs has so much to say about money. And yet I hope you can see that what it has to say about money is not simple. There's a balance. There's even a tension. Wealth is a blessing, but it's dangerous. And never trust it. If you're wise and everything is equal, you know what? You probably will get more money. But if your main focus is getting more money, you're going to be foolish. Because it's nice to have money. It can do some things, sure. But it's not nearly as valuable as wisdom, fearing God, and being righteous. So if you use money as your servant, you can be an incredible blessing. But if you let money be your God, you'll be damned. And this is probably the most important thing I'm saying today. So let me close with this. Whatever you do when it comes to money, don't look to money to do for you what God sent Jesus in the world to do for you. Money is not your Savior. Jesus is. There is only one Savior, and it's not found in your wallet. It's a person, Jesus. And so if you want approval, look to Jesus. If you want identity, look to Jesus. If you want security, look to Jesus. If you want righteousness, look to Jesus. Not money. Use money, but don't find your identity in money. Find it in Jesus. Don't look to money to do for you what only Jesus can do for you. Enjoy money. Be thankful for money. But don't put your hope in money. Put your hope in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is enough. And it's amazing how if we just listen carefully, your word is such a light in this complicated world. The world is throwing out all this confusing stuff. We so easily listen to all this nonsense. But your word comes in and it shoots straight and pure. And then it tells us what's true. And we thank you, Jesus, for giving us direction. But help us, by your Spirit's power, to be the kind of people who listen. We pray this in your name. Amen.